You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
More than 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain, and my next guest is here to shed some light about the links between all the grains that we all eat every day, not just gluten grains like wheat and barley, but that these grains have a link to the pain you may be suffering right now. Let's welcome Peter Osborne, Dr. Peter Osborne, best-selling author of No Grain, No Pain, and the clinical director of Origins Healthcare Center in Sugar Land, Texas. Great to have you here, Dr. Peter.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Now, you know, a lot of people, we talk a lot about gluten, but you believe there's more. There's more to the culprit when it comes to grains. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so gluten is just one aspect of grains. There are several other things. Actually, a few years ago, there were five new classes of proteins discovered in grain. Some of the things they do, they can block your pancreas from being able to secrete digestive enzymes. Some of these proteins can actually upregulate the immune system behind your gut wall and trigger autoimmune disease and IBS and gas and bloating and other symptoms. But grains are also very, very loaded with chemical pesticides like Roundup and glyphosate and atrazine. So a lot of people eating grains are getting heavy doses of pesticide exposure. And one of the other aspects to grain is the way they're stored. A lot of grains have excessive mold and excessive mold toxins, also known as mycotoxins. And so when you combine the gluten, when you combine these other proteins that can shut down your digestion and cause leaky gut, when you combine the pesticides and you combine the mold toxins, and some grains also have heavy metals like cadmium and arsenic, what you're left with is a food that everybody says is healthy for you, but really isn't all that healthy for you.
Well, let's talk about some of these grains, you know, so that people know exactly what you're talking about. Are you talking about like just rice, corn? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about all of them together, but specifically, let's talk about rice. You know, rice is touted as this gluten-free grain that's so healthy. First of all, there's a form of gluten found in rice. It's not as concentrated as the form of gluten found in wheat, but it still has been shown to cause something called enterocolitis, inflammation of the colon. And so there are a number of studies that show that rice causes this intestinal inflammation. Now, so that's one aspect to rice. Now, one of the other things that we find in rice is that it's one of the grains that contains high levels of arsenic and cadmium. These are heavy metals, toxic heavy metals, that can interfere with your body's ability to naturally produce its own hormones. So that can lead to weight gain and blood sugar problems. It can lead to chronic autoimmune disease and pain syndromes. Now, rice, a lot of people say, well, the Asians eat rice, and they're healthy, right? Actually, the Chinese have more diabetes than the entire U.S. They have more diabetes by percentage than the U.S., and one of the biggest reasons why is rice is such a staple food in that culture. So, you know, we have these misconceptions about rice and about the Asian culture being healthier than the American culture, but the reality is, the rice is highly glycemic, and it can trigger diabetes and blood sugar disruption as well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I'm Korean, Peter, and
I know.
my mother. I mean, the thing that I'm constantly doing is asking her to change her grain. I mean, because she loves white rice. I mean, she's 84 years old, young, and she's doing great. But you know what? That was one of the things that we took out of her diet so that we could control her pre-diabetic diabetes. So I'm a strong believer in that as well regarding rice. But how about like these ancient grains? You know, nowadays we talk a lot about, let's say, quinoa and amaranth. How about these?
Well, those are also what we call pseudo-grains. Amaranth and quinoa and buckwheat, those are the three that are probably eaten the most as a gluten-free substitute. What we know is that quinoa was studied in 2012. There were 14 proteins in quinoa that were studied. Two of those 14 proteins actually created a gluten reaction in people that had gluten sensitivity. So it actually created an inflammatory response in those individuals. It's not a grain I recommend. If a person has gluten sensitivity, it's not a grain substitute that I recommend. If we look at amaranth and buckwheat, one of the biggest problems with these is that they're commonly manufactured in facilities that process grains like corn. And so there's this huge degree of cross-contamination. One study showed, it was published in 2010, the Journal of the American Dietetic Association published a study on these grain-free, supposedly gluten-free pseudograins being cross-contaminated with enough gluten. 41% of the time they had enough cross-contamination to create damage, even though they were supposedly certified gluten-free.
Gosh. You know, when I look at amaranth and quinoa, I mean, they're really seeds, aren't they? They're seeds that we look at it as grains. So if we're going to go into seeds, then how about the seeds that we love to eat, pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds? I mean, do you think that that could be a problem as well?
Not in terms of gluten, although it hasn't been studied. So I can't say from a research background, I can't commit one way or the other. I can just commit clinically. In my experience in patients in my clinic, and I've treated over 5,000 patients in the last 15 years, what we see is when people gravitate toward heavy quantities of seeds, okay, heavy quantities, meaning making seeds a staple food in their diet. Every day it's gobs of seeds. They're sprinkling chia all over everything. You know, they're sprinkling sunflower all over everything. We see some of these patients have problems, not all, but some. Sometimes it's because some people are allergic to them, but other times it's because seeds in and of themselves are designed by Mother Nature to survive predators because they can't get up and run away. They're not animated objects. They have to have some kind of capacity to protect themselves. So some seeds have proteins in them that can hinder human digestion or shut down human digestion, and it's just it's a built-in mechanism of survival. If we look at fruit seeds are very common. No, nobody eats cherry pits. Nobody eats apricot pits or apple seeds. Why? Because they have forms of cyanide poison in them. And so it's very well known that seeds, again, their job is basically to preserve their own species and protect their species from predators creating an extinction. So if you're using tons of seeds as a staple food every day in your diet and you're not feeling well, I would highly recommend that you look at that a little bit more closely and maybe start analyzing whether or not you might want to back off.
Do you think sprouting the grain or sprouting the seeds make a difference?
It can, and it can for some. The people that have a problem with the digestion issues with seeds, sprouting can make a very big difference. The same thing goes with beans or legumes. But if a person's gluten sensitive, sprouting grain is no better for them than not. Now, a lot of people with gluten sensitivity get confused and they think, well, I'm eating Ezekiel bread or sprouted bread and therefore it's okay or safe for me. And it's just not. It still contains gluten. It's still a very big problem.
Right, right. And, you know, we got one more minute. Is there a lab test that you can do to see if you're really having these gluten sensitivities?
Yeah, it's called HLA-DQ genotyping. We've actually set up on glutenfreesociety.org, we've set up the ability for people to get this type of testing done. It's very specialized type of testing, and a lot of doctors won't order it. But it measures the genes that are responsible for gluten sensitivity. In essence, if you have these specific types of gluten gene patterns and you eat gluten, your body's going to look at that gluten and say, hey, this is an enemy. We need to attack it. And as it attacks it, it creates an inflammation that can then lead to pain. Therefore, no grain, no pain.
Right, exactly. So glutensociety.org, is that what you said, or was it Gluten-Free Society?
Glutenfreesociety.org.
Got it. Gluten-Free Society. Go there. This is such great information. We all need to really take a look at what we're eating and how it can be causing some of these symptoms, not just pain, as you write about, Peter, in your great book, No Grain, No Pain, but boy, it could be help you with many of the other conditions. Thanks again for being with us, Dr. Peter Osborne. DrPeterOsborne.com, GlutenFreeSociety.org. Great information. I put a link up on Wellness for Life Radio. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.